Bingo. We are back again. Another one. We're on a roll right now, so we're just going to keep it going. The guest we have on today is a man that I haven't had an extended conversation with in years now. He's not a small person, to say the least. He's got a big heart, though, too. So this episode, we got Nathan Getzelman on the podcast today. Super excited to have you, pal.
Yeah, I'm excited to be on, man. I've been catching the last couple episodes that you've been cranking out, and I've been laughing my ass off and also, you know, learning a lot about, you know, what everybody's up to. And I think that's just awesome to kind of be able to kind of see. So I was definitely excited to hop on and kind of have a chat with you and catch up.
Yeah, absolutely. Forever. It's been a long time. And when you were one of the people that reached out, because like I've said in the last couple episodes, a couple friends reached out. You were one of them. And it's just an easy way to be like, oh, you know what? Why don't we catch up and also record it? And I think, like you said, I think a lot of our friends that, you know, you see what people are doing, like in posts and stuff like that, but you really, unless you have a sit-down, one-on-one conversation, it really is kind of hard to know, like, what people are actually up to, you know what I mean? It's like, you have these conversations, you know, when you bump into each other in the bar or whatever, and it's just like, you can only get so far because there's so much going on, you know what I mean? So this is such a different environment where you can sit down, you know, shut the door to the room and really kind of one-on-one conversation and catch up, and it's been great so far, and I've found out a lot about some of the friends, you know, that I was so close to growing up. I found out so much shit that I had no idea, like, about their life, you know, because you don't have these, it's such a different intimate conversation one-on-one with your friends that you haven't really caught up with, so it's been really good, and I'm super happy to have you on, man.
Yeah, man, like you said, I think you said it in one of the earlier episodes that I listened to, is, like, people only share kind of their best highlights on social media these days anyway, and, you know, it's hard to really know, you know, the day-to-day grind that people go through that we all know people go through, but no one really talks about, you know?
Absolutely, and so going into that, dude, yeah, so we obviously, you and I were in the same grade, graduated together, we grew up together playing sports and football, and you actually, you went on to play college football at Benedictine, right?
Yep, I was a four-year football player at the school, five-year academic attendee, because I'm an idiot, but, you know, hey, what are you
going to
do?
Hey, it's all good, dude. Four years to get a 2-year over here, so I know exactly how it goes.
Hey, sometimes it takes a little bit longer, you know? Your journey's all your own, I guess.
Well, you think about it too, is like, dude, I was able to get by in high school by doing the absolute bare fucking minimum. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I was able to get by like relatively okay. Like I had a decent, like it wasn't good by any means, but I had a decent GPA coming out of high school, and I mean, that was because I couldn't stand, you know, I couldn't stand school. I knew, like, it wasn't my thing. I knew it, I knew if I was going to be taking school, it was going to be, like, targeted to what I wanted to do as a career, and I thought that made so much more sense. I was like, why the fuck am I sitting in these classes that I could give a shit less about? So, you know,
yeah, that was also weird too for you, because like you got an actual taste of it really quickly with the cadet program, right?
Oh, for sure. For sure.
Like so that's like, especially if you've found a passion for that, like I can see how it would make it so much harder to just kind of sit in a math class and learn about, you know, equations that you're never going to use again in your life.
Never. Now, and then still to this day, I have not used the Pythagorean theorem once since I got out of math, and I've been like, it's something that I will just, one, be thankful for that I never have to touch again or use my brain for, and two, it's just like, I'm also kind of salty at the same time because we were making those jokes in high school, you know what I mean? Like, we knew, I was like, when the fuck am I ever going to use this? Like, you know what I mean? Like, we knew that it was never going to be brought up again, but regardless, dude, it's, and the same thing with college, like, so going into that, I was like skimming by. You did pretty well in high school, right? Because you've always been a smart guy.
I was kind of the same way. Like I have a problem when I don't feel like I am, uh, like, I don't know, if I'm not interested in something, I don't really give my full effort to it, and that's kind of how high school was for me. Like, I wasn't really, I don't feel like I was engaged in a lot of my classes. I mean, I got by with a B average, just kind of like you said. I was able to kind of sit in and listen and get by and pass tests enough just based off of what I was listening to, but
yeah.
Unless I was really passionate about something, it was like, wasn't like I was gonna give my like full effort into in high school. So I was kind of the same way.
Yeah, and then I don't know how that your transition was in college, but I remember when I went to RVC, dude, it was such a slap in the face for me because, like, obviously my I think my schedule was a little bit more bizarre than some people freshman year because I was in recruit class two nights a week, like, and that the hours were 6 to 10 at night, which was weird. And then, I worked up at Cherryvale Mall, like, on like really weird, like, odd days, from like whatever times, and then randomly on weekends, and then seasonally around like Christmas time or like Halloween through Christmas time, I was working at UPS too, and that was like from 11 to 3 in the morning. So like I just had like such a gnarly weird schedule, and in my free time I just did not prioritize doing homework at all whatsoever. Like I remember like very vividly being like, I can't do this math homework, so I'm just gonna give up and play Black Ops 2 with Carl. Like I did that so many times, and definitely like bit me in the foot. And but college like is so much different. Like you have to actually fucking try. And I like it took me literally until that fourth year where I was like, I cannot keep fucking around with this shit. Like I should have been done with this 2 years ago. Like I cannot. And so I finally had to force myself to like buckle down and actually give a shit. And so it was one of those things where it's such a different environment where you can't just skim by and I mean, obviously some people can because they're next level smarts, but like I found out very quickly that unless it was a fire class, I could not just, because that was the hardest part for me was my gen eds. I hated all of them. And
it's the same problem, right? It's like, it's not something that you're going to directly translate or it's not clear to you that it directly translates like in the beginning. Like, so it's like, why would I pay attention to this when I'd rather go, you know, learn about, you know, the stuff that actually interests me and the things that I'm going to use in my job.
100%. And like at the same time, you know, I'm still so young at that point, and we were all so young. It's like, I thought I had an idea, like that I was sold that like, you know, fire was going to be my thing. And like, but as like years went on, you know, I just like, and like the thing with being in the small town in Byron, I just like got burnt out of it. You know what I mean? So it's like, thank God I didn't keep going to school for more shit that I didn't know if I really wanted to do. You know what I mean? Like we've changed so much from when we graduated high school to where we are now. You know what I mean? Like it's such we're all such like different grown up people. Like it's absurd.
Yeah. And your interests change over time, right? Like it's kind of weird that you kind of have to like base your whole life off of like a decision that, at least for myself, it was like a last minute decision on like kind of what I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm going to be doing the rest of my life. I mean, luckily, I mean, thus far it's kind of worked out for me. So, I mean, I can't complain too much, but it's definitely like a daunting task to kind of sit down and be like, okay, like what do I want to dedicate my entire life to? You know what I mean?
And that's the craziest part. And going off of that, just kind of like tell a little bit about yourself, like what your plan was going into college for what you wanted to do, and then how it's kind of adjusted, and then now what you're involved in.
Yeah, sure. So like I went in, and I actually am probably one of the rare people, it seems like, that didn't really switch their major. So I went in to college thinking I wanted to do stuff with computers. I'm a pretty techie guy, I guess. I've always kind of been kind of a nerd, if you would.
Mm-hmm.
I've kind of been one of those people that kind of transcends multiple groups or labels or whatever you want to call it, right? Because I've always been into sports. I've always kind of been into like computers and video games and stuff like that. And I've also been into cars. So it's like the one weird thing about Byron is I feel like because it's so small, you can kind of get along with everyone.
For the most part,
obviously, you're going to have your dumb high school drama and you're going to have that anywhere. especially in small towns. But I mean, for the most part, I can't recall like ever having a like a major problem other than like I said, stupid high school drama with anyone, or that anyone really like absolutely like had, you know, mortal enemies with someone in high school. But I could just be forgetting things with time. But anyway, so I went into school for computer information systems, and that's ultimately what I got my degree in. So basically, I kind of describe it as like light programming, if you would.
Yeah.
So basically, how I describe it is like I can do some of the technical work, but I can also talk to people. So I talk to people more than I do the technical work, if that makes sense.
Or yeah.
I help to translate some of that. And so I got super lucky, and out of college after my fifth year, my super senior year.
Hell yeah.
I finally graduated, and then I kind of got hooked up with the company that I'm at now, and I've been for the last 2.5, almost 3 years now.
There you go.
And currently doing kind of exactly that. I was, for the longest time, what's called a business analyst or an implementation consultant. So basically, I talk to our clients that buy our software, and then I basically take what they tell me and put it into technical speak, and then I was also doing some of the work to put it there. And then anything that I couldn't do, or anything like above and beyond like the actual coding stuff, like that would go to our product development team and all that fun stuff. So I was kind of the intermediary there, and kind of the first kind of point of contact for like a lot of our clients. And then recently I just accepted a new position at my same job that now I'm basically managing a team of people that do that. So
nice, dude. Congrats, man.
Yeah, thank you, man. It's quite an adjustment going from like doing the work yourself to like being and responsible for like your own kind of universe to like having to go and like pay attention and actually care about like a team of people and making sure like they're all doing what they're supposed to be doing. So it's kind of weird. It's, you know, it's something that that's so far been pretty interesting and kept me on my toes.
Absolutely. How do you feel like you are? Do you feel pretty? I'm sure talking to you, like, cause I know, obviously I know like the core of you cause we grew up together, but do you, I feel like you're a pretty good leader. Do you get that same feedback from your team, or do you feel like you're a pretty good guy to like lead people?
I don't know. Like it's hard for me to say that like I am or not. I mean, people certainly say I've said to me like, hey, you have like leadership qualities, but I think it's hard for me to say like, oh yeah, I'm a leader in this. I try to, as cliche as it sounds, I kind of just try to lead by example and just try to help out where I can. And I think that's where, you know, a lot of my success at my current job is going to come from. It's just been, you know, just trying to put my nose to the grindstone and just kind
of do instead of say, basically.
Yeah. You know, I'm talking a lot during that whole time, but yes, basically just kind of show it through my actions kind of deal. And I think a lot of that comes back to like how being raised in like Byron has just kind of helped me progress in like sports, and especially kind of referring back to kind of in school, right? Like sports definitely made sure that like I was like keeping on top of my stuff so that I can continue to play that. So it really kind of helped with my time management in that aspect, and that kind of helped me set up the foundation there, not only at Byron but also in college, and then kind of continuing on. So I mean, I've been super fortunate, and you know, I've gotten great opportunities that have come my way, and it's hard for me to say like that's all just because of me. Some of that is definitely luck, but you know,
sure
I take it where I can get it, I guess.
No, absolutely. It's you know, you gotta be, you know, I've always been kind of a guy to where, like, I don't know, like, what your, like, religious beliefs are, but, like, I've always been kind of, like, different in the fact, like, people praying to, like, get stuff. I don't think, like, you praying and, like, and working is going to inherently get you, just give you anything. I think it's going to give you opportunities, and you have to act on those opportunities. I think that's, like, a big thing with the luck is, like, yeah, you might land something, but like ultimately you had an opportunity that you had to like, you had to prove yourself in to get where you are. You know what I mean? So it's like, you can think like, oh man, like like, I'm going to put my head down and work, and get, I'm going to get this position. It's like, you might be putting yourself in a good position, but if you don't act on that opportunity or excel when that opportunity is given to you, you know what I mean? That's where people can kind of get, like, thrown off that, like, you know, it's just like, if you didn't land that dream position, it's like, maybe you got to reflect a little bit and be like, okay, did I like really show myself like when I got the opportunity? You know what I mean? So it's kind of,
yeah. It's like kind of, you can put the work in practice, put it to a sports analogy. Like you can work your ass off in practice all day long. But you know, the minute you step on the field, you make, you know, 5 critical mistakes in the, you know, the next 6 plays, then you're probably going to be on the bench for a little bit longer until, you know, that next opportunity comes to you. So you just, like you said, just kind of have to capitalize, you know, when they come your way, and, you know, hope that you can put your best foot forward and get the attention of, you know, the right people, you know, partially of that. And also kind of going into it, I think a lot of it with the mindset of like you kind of mentioned as well, is like not focusing directly on the outcome on your actions, like in the essence of like, you're not going into this to get a promotion or to do this or to, you know, be seen. You're doing this to get your work done or to do things to the best of your ability. And then kind of the rewards that you might reap from that will come, kind of deal.
Absolutely. No. Yeah. Sure. Totally get that. And so, one thing I wanted to jump to is just kind of, cause I wanted to keep this episode super light. And, like, I wanted to keep, like, the vibe super good. So I just wanted to, what's, like, some, obviously we have so many funny stories that I'm trying to dig through my brain to bring up. Is there any funny stories of us, like, growing up in sports or, like, just in school or in life that you remember, like, as us as kids? Not, like, me and you specifically, but, like, more so you, that anything that you want to share that you remember?
I can't, like, there's so many that you could probably call back to, but the one that I was thinking about the other day was when, I think it was you, me, and Trevor went paintballing for the first time.
Oh my God, this story.
And it popped into my head, and it just made me laugh so hard, just sitting there to myself, probably looking like a loser, but whatever. I don't know how it all started. I think I was trying to convince Trevor, and then Trevor convinced you, or I don't remember how all that happened, but essentially it boiled down to like the three of us showing up to, I think it was the stone quarry, was it?
Yep, it was. It was the back area that like they separated into two, like an open course and then like a fields course or whatever, and they had paintball like every weekend. You could,
yeah.
I don't know what company it was for or through, but you'd show up and you'd, you know, pay however much money and they'd give you your gun, you know, with paintballs and just like kind of an absurd deal. And it was popping for a while, dude. Like when a few of the times we went, like it was busy, man.
Yeah. I just remember showing up, getting basically handing you a paintball gun and a mask and saying like, hey, go nuts. Oh, by the way, if you want to buy some armor, you can do that too. Like might want to do that as well. And I just remember like when we went, there was some kids that showed up like that were all decked out already and had all the gear, and I was like, oh boy, this is not gonna go well.
And I know to jump into that too, because I remember that day like it was yesterday. We showed up thinking it was just gonna be a casual game of paintball. And a team that, I don't know, for people that know this around Byron, there's a, like, the nuclear power plant, like, I don't know if they have, like, a legit course out there, but there was a team of guys from the nuke plant, and I don't know, like, if some of them were ex-military or, like, or whatever, but it's definitely people that, like, know what they're doing with not only paintball guns, but real guns. And so we show up and these guys literally roll up in all camo, like padded up. And I'm like, I'm going to die today. Like I'm literally going to get picked off anytime there's even any part of me like in the open. And yeah, so you could dive back into that story, 'cause it's so funny.
Yeah. And so basically there's us like, hey, we can figure out how to pull the trigger on this gun. And these guys are rolling up, you know, 10 deep, you know, with a full squad ready, all kitted up and ready to go. And there's us like, we have like the most misshapen clothes, probably looking just like a bunch of ragtags, out there. And then I just remember we played a couple games against them. I think we were playing like Capture the Flag or something.
Yeah.
It was just a location. And I just remember us just getting absolutely just
bodied. Bodied by them.
Instantly like, oh, look, I'm going to poke my head up to try and get one of these guys. I'm just getting smashed with like 13 different shots to the body and just like, okay, yep, I'm out, I'm dead, please stop, please stop.
And dude, paintball, like, I knew when we were going into it that like it hurts when you get hit, dude. It fucking hurts when you get hit with a paintball, man. It hurts.
Yeah. Oh, it definitely leaves a nice little welt, especially if you don't get hit in the body armor, like on your arms. I think the worst shot I took was I took one to the throat. And because I was like looking up or something, and it was apparently a soft enough landing to where the paintball didn't break, and so like I technically wasn't out, but it hit me so hard,
dude.
I'm just gonna walk back, but I can't even breathe.
And it's so funny that you say that, because I remember when we were done playing that team, I think. So it was me, I think it was you and Bass versus me and Trevor or something like that, because I remember Bass came with us at least one of the times. And I remember being in the middle, and you came around that big middle bin in the middle of the course and shot Trevor. And he didn't give me a warning in time, and you rolled around, and it seemed like probably 10 feet away, you hit me with like two real quick shots, and it was right on the inside of the thigh. And I remember just like thinking I actually got shot for real, and was like, oh my God. I remember like letting out a yelp and just dropping to the ground and being like, motherfucker, dude. And just like hold, and I remember it like it was yesterday going on, because that day, because of the fear of being shot, I had football pants on underneath my pants just in case. And it, of course, you dimed me twice where there was no padding. And so I just remember like dropping and being like, holy shit! And just being like, you motherfucker! And just screaming at you that you should have like asked me to surrender instead of just flavor blasting me in the leg. But I remember so funny thinking about it now, but I had the biggest welts on the inside of my leg when you shot me, and it's because they didn't break. And I was like, this is the worst thing that could ever happen to me, ever. I was like, this is horrible.
Yeah, like, this sounded so much more fun in my head than it actually does at the current moment.
I had a revelation when you shot me, for sure.
Yeah, you had your come-to-Jesus moment.
I did. Sure. I was like, well, one thing is I'm never paintballing again, and two, if I get my fucking hands on Getzelman, I'm going to strangle him. If I could ever stay...
I don't remember if you remember right what happened right after that, because the way that I remember it is, like, I was coming up the middle, and then I kind of went off to the left, and you would have been on, like, the right, and you were, like, kind of stacked behind a bunch of barrels that I didn't see.
Yeah.
So then, like, I see Trevor, like, trying to shoot me, so, like, I do whatever, and then, like, I'm still kind of, like, trying to maneuver, trying to be all tactical or whatever, and then I come around the corner, and I just see you, and I was just like, oh, shit, I gotta get him before he gets me. So, like I said, I shoot twice, and then...
Ask questions later, for sure. And I had to, and I wore both of those, and I was just like, I just remember when I dropped to the ground, I just remember going, there are two holes in my leg for sure. Like, I'm a goner, dude. Like, this leg is gone. And it's so fun. Like,
I felt like such an ass, because I was probably sitting there cracking up like I was.
Well, dude, think about, like, if you and I could go back and watch that, like, from a higher up, like, third person perspective, it'd be so hilarious to watch me get shot and have a meltdown. Like, that's a funnier thing, like, me growing up, like, being a little bit less toxic now. Like, I can, like, it takes a lot to laugh at yourself, but it also, like... It's really relieving to be able to laugh at yourself. And I just remember being like, thinking about it years later, how funny and how bad I crack up and how mad I got when that happened. Just to now, it's just like,
so mad, and I couldn't help but sit there and laugh, because I don't know what it was, and it still is to this day. Like, you've always got me in trouble for laughing so hard.
You did. It's so true.
I don't know what it is, but I also remember, before we jump off into that, like, I also remember that was the exact time that the ref of the whole paintball thing was like, hey, by the way, there's the 10-foot rule, by the way. And I was like, huh, this was good information that we probably should have learned before.
Thanks for the heads up before the match, shithead.
Yes, but to kind of...
Literally just lost a leg out here since you didn't clarify the rules.
Yeah, so I just remember that and just laughing my ass off, and then me laughing at the fact that you're just like... dying in pain over here just amplifies your level of being upset.
Oh, dude, I definitely... Because one thing that definitely set me off as a child was... Because this was my biggest beef with Joe Hanlon, my best friend ever, is... I would get hurt or something would happen, and his instant reaction was just to laugh at me, and I would just lose my fucking shit on him every time. Be like, why is that funny? Why is it so funny? And why are you laughing at me when I'm clearly in pain right now? And I remember for some reason it would just...
You're laughing at
it. Yeah, me being in pain and people laughing at me drove me to insanity, dude. And I remember seeing you chuckle at my demise of being plastered with those paintballs. I was like, this motherfucker, dude. I just remember going, he's got the nerve to laugh in my face as I'm down here with, for sure, a broken femur from those paintballs. And I remember being like...
There's Getzelman over here just on the ground almost dying from suffocation because he's laughing so hard.
And, dude, your laugh was always so noticeable and so loud to where... Because I remember, like, you think about all the times in sports where, like, we're all in a group, but your laugh was so distinguishable from everybody else's. So I just remember being like, oh, so whatever that was, that guy gets you real bad because I'd be able to hear it constantly over everybody's. But you're right, though. Yeah. I did get you in trouble a lot from you not being able to hold back your laughter.
It doesn't matter what we were even talking about. It would be something like the stupidest glance I'd get from Drake, and then just all of a sudden I'd just be laughing, and then all of a sudden teachers are just like swarming out of everywhere, just like, what are you doing? Why are you talking? Like, we're going to boot you out of the room here because you don't shut up. And of course, at that time, I'm already laughing, and Drake takes it upon himself to do whatever it was that he's doing even more. And then, of course, myself not being able to control that laughter, just, yeah.
Well, you think about it, too. Like, there was something about, and I think a lot of people like that are listening can relate to this, there's something different. Like, something funny in a classroom during class just amplifies the funniness, dude. Like, having to fight back laughter in class. Like, I've laughed real, real hard in my life, like, thousands and thousands of times since we graduated school. But there is something different about someone being funny, or, like, dude, when someone ever farted in class... That will never, thinking about that right now is, like, almost making me chuckle out of control because, like, you think of a dead silent classroom and someone ripping ass in class, dude, where everybody...
You can just see them, like, shrink down into their soul.
Like, dude.
Oh, God.
I'm
going to hear about this for the next 15 years. About this fart that I had in Miss whatever Faces class is. Like,
like,
oh my God.
I remember in seventh grade still to this day in Miss Bart, I think it was Mrs. Bukowski's class. Matt Gronewald ripped ass in class, dude. And I think I had like Aaron Fish and like Muhammad or somebody, Baby Bass, I don't know. But I just remember like not even attempting to hold it in and just open mouth, just throwing my head back and cackling because I couldn't do it. And just even Mrs. Bukowski like couldn't even hold it in and everyone was dying laughing, dude.
Dude, I don't know how some of those teachers hold it together. Like when you have like something like that embarrassing, like obviously you're not trying to embarrass one of your students, but like I don't know, something stupid where it's like not that serious, and like I just don't know how you don't bust out laughing. Like I'd be terrible. I'd be like,
dude,
just sitting there talking along the rest of the class.
Part of me almost like has a desire to be a teacher because like some of that stuff is so funny and like it doesn't matter to where like it's such a healthy environment for everyone just to like really laugh hard at it, even the person that did it, and then make sure you're like, all right guys, like that was hilarious, but let's move on and get back to it.
Social studies, let's figure out what happened on this day in 70 some odd years ago.
Yeah, we're gonna talk. Okay, that was funny, guys. But now we're gonna talk about how Attila the Hun and all of his boys literally murdered an entire country. So let's get back to that. And
yeah,
so,
on a more serious note.
Yeah. So it's like going from that, dude. And one thing, now that we're about halfway through the episode, one thing that we gotta talk about, and I know people definitely want to hear about it, is
I have a feeling this is coming.
We gotta talk about how funny the hammer butted story is. Did you know that that's what I was gonna ask?
So just you kind of started out with a question line. I was like, I have a sneaking suspicion this is going directly to this.
Oh, and yeah, so I know now that the like what happened was like you got lit by Garbutt and you tried to say I got hammered by Garbutt, right? Is that what it was?
It was either something like that. I think it was either Garbutt or Huddleston. I can't remember at this point. But it was like in what, fifth grade?
Dude, it was we were kids, man. It was either in fifth or it was in middle school. But I remember something happened. I'll tell a story about me getting fucking rocked in practice after this story. But I remember,
I remember
the coaches asking you, and like they were all laughing. I think too,
they
and
were
I think
laughing their ass
oh, 100%. Like they just watched us get our shit rocked every day, and it was hilarious.
Well, in this particular instance, they were extremely laughing their ass off because they had run the same trap play. Like probably like three or four times in a row, so I'm probably minorly concussed at this point anyway because I've just been taking shots to the dome from whoever's running down on
with those garbage ass helmets that we had in middle school
that
too.
Don't fit right, so like when you get hit in the head, like it spins halfway around your face, and just like I just remember just getting cracked like three times, just like getting so excited because like as a dumb fifth grader or whatever the hell I was, just like running in like, oh man, someone's so stupid they forgot to block me, and then just like figuring out what a trap lock was in freaking fifth grade football, like just getting dome pieced every single play for three plays in a row. And I just remember laying there with on my back, mouth guard just getting swallowed by me while trying to talk to the coach. They're just sitting over me like, huh, bud? Hey, how you doing down there? You seem like you're not having that fun of a time at practice. And it's just like, and then just, the famous hammer butted.
The famous hammer butted line, dude. I got hammer butted. I remember one of the coaches or somebody screaming, "You got hammer butted!" And at that point, you were trying to explain as you were taken out. I think I remember it like it was a movie. You were trying to explain yourself and take out your mouth guard. But after whoever yelled, "You got hammer butted," we all lost it, dude. And I remember there was no coming back from that story after that. Like it was cemented in time.
It's never going away.
It was cemented in time right when whatever coach yelled that out, it was game over.
I'm pretty sure it was either Randall or Steve Gould.
And honestly, either one, both of them are such rascals, I have no idea which one it would have been. Like,
it could have been either.
It really could have been either. I have no idea. And that is such a fucking funny story. Like, that will be a tabletop story that, like, we will tell until the day we are all gone from this earth. Like, it is so, so unbelievably funny to me. And, like, all of our friends still die at that story. And so going, like, keeping on the stories now, I don't know if you remember this, but Huddleston was, like, an unreal athlete when we were kids. Like, I remember when he moved here, how big he was and how fast he was unbelievable. Like Huddleston, for people that don't know,
fullback body.
Dude, yeah, a fullback body with like with halfback speed. It was absurd for our age. Like I did not understand how quick he could move. And he was also a backer. Like he was one of our like running backs, and he was a linebacker. And I remember for a while, Huddleston was our punt returner and kick returner. Like, I remember him taking a couple punts back to the house when we were playing junior tackle. Like, it's absurd to me. And
kids just bounce it off.
Yeah, dude, he would just truck people too. Like, dude could body guys. And I remember we were doing punt stuff in practice, and so I remember going back as returner and being like, this is gonna be the time where, like, I wanted to be like Devin Hester. I wanted to be Devin Hester so bad, dude. Like, wanted to be him so bad. And I remember being like, okay, this is my chance to prove myself. And, like, dude, I wasn't fast. I wasn't big. I was a fucking DN for us until eighth grade year when they switched me back to defensive back, finally. And so I remember being like, this is my time to shine. And someone booted the ball. And it took, I was going to catch it. I took like a half step back, let it bounce. And I was like, I took like a glance up and I was like, okay, I still got plenty of room. It took a bounce up and I went to go like run to go grab it. And no sooner did I touch that ball to go take off, Huddleston fucking clotheslined me, dude. And I mean, clotheslined me. Like, I got lit up. Dude,
he's had 40 yards
get into a full out sprint to just fucking body me. Like, the coaches should have known that I was gonna get bodied. And
they live for those moments at practice.
Oh, 100%. I remember just getting smoked and things just going dark for like a millisecond, and then me just being like feeling myself hit the ground how I did. And I was like, good God, who the fuck could that have even been? And I remember just, like, hearing, like, some of the guys go, oh! And like, I remember, like, looking up and being like, Jesus. And who knows if I fucking probably cried because I was such a bitch back in the day. But I remember getting up and just being like, I hope I never get hit that hard again in my entire life. Because I just got folded so hard by Huddleston. I was like, I don't want to deal with that ever again. Ever again, dude.
I definitely took my share of licks too, as I'm sure you did. I mean, I was probably the only one in our group of guys that wasn't like tiny all through middle school and high school. So naturally, I was designated lineman for the rest of my life.
Oh yeah, that's just really how it goes. Honestly,
it's just how it goes. Yeah, yeah, for sure. I mean, not that I was like super athletic and should have been like Huddleston at all, but you know, I just wish that Byron took a better approach to teaching people how to block, because like, this is funny if we're going to stay on football. It's just, I just remember getting to practice my freshman year at college, and then just being like, Getzman, what the fuck are you doing? Like, dude, I don't know. I've been doing this for like 4 years. It's like, chicken wing, man, come on, fit the shoulder, man. What are you talking about? They're like, yeah, God gave you hands, son. Why don't you use them? It's like, huh.
Isn't that so funny with us coming from a wing T school that does nothing but fucking block? Like, and it's just so funny to me that you show up as like a major like blocking lineman to them at the next level being like, what the fuck are you doing, dude?
Yeah, just looking like a buffoon out there. And I remember my freshman practice, like the hell week that we did, like our first year.
Yeah.
And I just remember just sitting there, just heat stroke, just first time ever, or probably second time ever on turf field, because I remember there was one school in our division that had turf field.
Mendota had turf. We also played at Elmhurst on their turf, but that was for. Who was that
was
even?
Like sophomore year.
Yeah, sophomore year we played at Elmhurst, but who was it, like Morrison or something? I don't know who the hell it was. I really don't know that.
I couldn't tell you.
I remember. It's funny that you say that. Do you remember what they did to us that game? How pissed Coach Moline was? Because they sent us, like, they didn't have a locker room set up for us when we got there, so they put us in they put us in a classroom. And then they moved us out of the classroom and made us walk like a half a mile over to a different room before we walked back to the field to play, and I remember Coach Moline being like, we are going to shit on this team for doing this
stuff. This is what they're going to do to us before the game even starts? We're going to mess them up so bad.
Dude, Coach Moline was such a dope coach, too. I loved him as a coach so much. He was awesome.
Yeah. He's probably him, Coach Spar.
Spar, dude.
Probably some of my favorite coaches, that I didn't also wrestle with.
Like, for sure.
Coach Wilmarth was probably one of my most, favorite coaches, just because, he was one of those coaches that would actually, go and, do the workouts with you.
Yes.
So, as much as you're sitting there suffering, and they're like, oh, man, he's hopping in on this set. That just amps you up.
This grown man that doesn't need to be doing this is out here getting after it.
Yeah. Just absolutely just mobbing over here and also doing all the CrossFit workouts and stuff like that.
Well, dude, Wilmarth was always just built different. I remember, most people know Dan, that's his dad, right? Dan Wilmarth?
Yeah, Dan.
So Dan was the coolest janitor of all time. We all loved him growing up, and then Chad, his kid, dude. Coach Wilmarth was just he was so fucking stocky and just that dude for forever. He was always so just way too damn strong. And now he's still killing it at Genoa Kingston, right? He's the varsity coach there now.
I think he's back at Byron now.
Really? They brought him back?
That's what I thought I heard. Yeah, I thought I heard he was back. I'm pretty sure.
Wow.
I don't know. I don't keep up with Byron sports as much as I used to.
I don't either. I just know that he was the varsity head coach at Genoa Kingston for at least a few years.
Yeah. And he got that program dialed in, I'm sure.
Oh, for sure. I know them and Byron had some battles for sure. Because, he's such a good dude to have anywhere in a program, even if it's a lower tier spot. He is electric, man. Such a good guy.
Yeah. And he's kind of what, what I kind of referred, looked at as far as, if I ever got into coaching, the kind of coach that I'd want to be, someone at least engaged and stuff like that.
For sure.
Just kind of a guy that, you said, you want to have on your team, whether he's the head coach or wherever, you find a spot for those kind of guys.
For sure. It'd be nuts if he was back in Byron, because that coaching staff is honestly just insane. It's wild how they've gone full circle, and a lot of them that, were on that state team in 99 came back and are not. Dude, it's so wild that we have Sean Constein on that coaching staff who was playing the NFL for how many fucking years. That's insane.
Yeah, do you remember the couple times that he came and worked us out? I just remember the one hell day that we did with him, and I just was vomiting, just dying. Coach Wilmarth's all right, we're going again. And I was just
what? What do you mean again? I was I haven't even recovered from the last one.
I just remember, the start of it. I don't remember the full workout. I just remember the start of it was, a 10-yard army crawl or something through underneath, a fence thing, and then just getting up and just a full-out sprint to tackling dummies or something. Oh. Just remember just absolutely just tossing my cookies at least three times.
Dude, from that. Do you remember legally, I don't think they can do it anymore, but just the dog days of two-a-days with everybody for 2 weeks in a row, man?
Yeah, of just waking up at 6 a.m. to get to practice.
Getting to that first practice, getting loose, and then
running a mile and then practicing.
That was the worst part was the warm-up mile, dude. That was so ass.
And then you have just enough time to, get all your gear off and, maybe have, a banana or something.
I think it might have been a half hour or something in between first and second practice. And I remember just being just cooking in that sun, dude. But, it's so funny.
Right when second practice was starting, the sun is at its, almost at its peak and it's just drilling down on you. And, the 30 minutes that you've had, I always took my socks off, which was a big mistake. Forgetting to bring extra socks.
Yeah. Trying to get that first practice pair of socks back on, dude. Such a mistake.
Yeah, just getting some trench foot out here, just absolutely just mobbing. running another mile and just absolutely hating life.
Now, where did we go? Where did we go our senior year? Because we went to Camp McCormick, which is a huge deal where we go out to.
Yeah.
We go out to this camp. Like, you're not supposed to have your cell phone for an entire week, right? Is that what it's supposed to be?
Yeah, it's like a whole week.
A whole week like where you we get up at 6, run like 3 miles with our helmet on, which
Coach
was
in, Miller
which,
in the. Golf
cart.
Yep.
Or whatever
the hell it has
we'd
that
all
day.
Get up. We'd yeah. run. We'd run our mile or whatever with our helmet on, and then we or however many couple miles. Then we'd get back. We'd all eat breakfast, and then we'd go out to first practice, get done, have lunch, chill for a little bit, then go out, have second practice, and then we'd go back, like shower up, and then have dinner, and then we'd have like our chill time where we all just get to go do whatever. And I remember. Like, dude, how fun it was just being out in the woods with the guys. Like,
oh, yeah.
Just absolutely. Dude, I just remember. I remember in camp. We definitely. It was way easier to sneak our phones in camp. What was this? What was the one we went to our senior year? I can't
LOMC. Okay.
LOMC. That's what it was. Camp LOMC. Because I definitely snuck my phone into Camp McCormick, but. It was so much easier to spot because we were all in that open room on pads, and so it was so much easier to spot if you had because it was you would everyone would like hide their phone like in their sleeping bag or whatever, and so I was paranoid and sent maybe like 3 texts while I was there, and I was so scared for my life I was gonna get everyone in trouble. But LOMC was so much easier because we all had the separate little bunk rooms. And I remember like everyone would drape like towels down from their bunks, and so you'd be able to like spot or be able to hide it if like a coach like jumped in real quick to try to bust people. And so so funny, dude.
The only thing that sucked about LOMC was just all the freaking hills that you had to run. I think
We would run all the way to the bottom of that thing.
Yeah, Coach Miller just like, come on, as he's sitting in the truck, just flooring it up.
Get
the
off the escalator.
40% incline, just running up this hill.
Like, yeah, like, dude,
on, let's go.
I'm 17, and I weigh 130 pounds. Like, what do you, like, I am not athletic. I should be on the golf course. Like, what do you want from me?
Yeah, I just remember that is the main thing that I remember is just trying to get Byers in trouble for getting him some extra running after practice for having the one little stubble. And then, you know, Brandon Williams just being the man that he would, he'd like shave before practice and still have a 5 o'clock shadow afterwards.
Are you talking about Devin?
Devin, yeah, sorry.
Dude, for anyone that doesn't know who Devin Williams is, and if you do, you obviously know what we're talking about right now. I mean, that guy has been a man since he was 8 years old.
Yes.
The dude had a mustache in, like, the sixth grade.
Yeah, the guy was just an absolute unit.
Like, I wasn't able to grow...
He got my own hammer-butted story there, too.
You what?
I just remember him. I said he gave me my own hammer-butted story, too, not just Huddleston or Garbutt or whoever it was, because he came back on a crack block
once.
I was just being there as a standing. It's just, like, they used, like, the underclassmen as just, like...
Bodies.
Just hitting dummies.
Literally
just,
bodies.
Hey, stand here. And I just remember just, like, dozing off into space, just, like, looking forward, like, sitting out outside linebacker, just standing there, obviously not playing or anything, and just him just coming back on a crack block, just absolutely lighting me up. And I was just like, oh, my God.
I mean, that dude could legit kill people on the football field. Like, it was
pretty sure.
Absurd. Like, do you remember, like, when he would come over and like yell in that raspy voice with his eyes like absolutely as wide as they could be, like when he was about to turn it on, like the dude would just enter a zone, man. It was unbelievable to see. Like I can't believe it. And dude, what was do you remember some of the nicknames that Mr. Miller gave everybody? Like what was yours?
Oh, God, I didn't have one. Wasn't yours like stinky or something?
Yeah, I was gonna tell the story. God damn it.
Yeah, I don't think I ever got one. Mine was always just Getz or Getzelman. Or,
yeah, you had one coming into football anyway, so it was kind of game over for you.
Yeah, that
and
one
so,
just kind of.
Apparently, I'll tell the fucking stinky story right now, which is hysterical. So, literally, so rude how that even happened. So I remember we were doing walkthrough, I think, on a Thursday on the main field. and we were just in Shells, and we were talking about, I don't remember what team it was or whatever, but I remember we were talking about, like, coverages and shit like that, and he went to go off, like, talking about something, and he forgot my name. He forgot a kid's name that's been in the Byron football system since he was in the fifth grade, and so he knew who I was, like, he very, very much knew who I was, and so he went to go yell, and I think he said, like, the wrong names twice before he finally just went, I don't know, Stinky, Stinky, and I just remember going, is he fucking talking to me? And I think I asked him, I went, are you talking to me? Did you just call me Stinky? And he went, yeah, I forgot your name. So Stinky's a new nickname. I went, you got it. And I just remember everybody throwing their heads back and laughing. And I just remember shaking my head and going, my life is over. My life is over. He just called, my new nickname is fucking Stinky. Like, for what reason did that pop into your head? And he was like, I don't know. He's like, I don't know. It was the first thing that came to my head. Stinky. So Stinky's a new nickname. So I'd hear on Friday nights him going, Stinky! Stinky! And I'm just like, dude, can we come up with something else, please, for the love of God?
Just sitting there, you know, 16, 17, 18-year-old yourself, just like, God, what am I... This is going to be the rest of my life. My life is over.
It was demoralizing, dude. When he proclaimed Stinky as the nickname, I was like, I'm never going to live this down. I will literally never recover.
You joined the ranks of me and Hammerbutt at that point in time, you know.
I feel like everybody has like one of those stories too where they just got absolutely bodied by something, cuz I remember, oh my God, like I just wish I had so much of a better memory, because, dude, we could talk for hours about how some of the funny stories happen. Like, dude, can you tell the story about Gomez and the golf cart, dude? Do you remember that?
Which one?
That's so true.
Are you talking about the one where he crashed it?
Yes. He was with Coach Miller driving him around.
Oh, my God. I don't know the full story. I just remember, like, it was, like, during dog days or wherever, like, the hell week or whatever you want to call it. And it was, like, I think Go was, like, trying to get Coach Miller or whoever he was riding with to, like, let him drive for the longest. Just, like, come on, let me drive. And then the first time he gets the wheel, he just freaking barrels it into all those
empty trash cans that we'd have set up for, like, different blocking schemes, and just smoked like four of them. I remember hearing that, which was an absurd thing to hear, like, on that field. Yeah. And I remember Coach Miller going, "Hit the brakes! I'm getting off of this thing. That's enough. That's enough." Yeah. I remember just seeing the look on Gomez's face, dude, when he smoked those barrels, and then Miller just... I think that's the hardest I've ever seen Miller laugh. And, dude, do you remember when Miller broke his chair during film?
I do.
Coach Miller.
It was like one of those periods, too, that was just dead silent. And
it was serious because he was chewing somebody. I think he was chewing somebody out.
Yeah. Yeah. And just laying into it and then just hearing the chair.
The back of the chair that he's in. He used to sit in this comfy-ass recliner in Boyer's room watching film.
Yeah.
And we're all in there, and he's grilling somebody about something they did wrong. And I remember him rocking back and forth and just – like asking him, is that what we do? Is that what we're supposed to be doing in that coverage? And someone being like, no, sir. And then him like rocking back and forth, and just the back of that chair just blowing out, and him flying back and being on the ground, dude. Dude, how hard Coach Boyer laughed at that.
He was trying so hard not to break down because he had a serious face on, but. Like, just sitting him, watching him, Coach Miller in the back of the classroom.
Coach Miller.
Just take a tumble.
Coach Miller on his back with his legs up in the air was one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my entire life. And then the look on his face, like he knew, like they knew they lost us. There's no way that we were going to not.
I think they kicked us out after that. They like kicked us out to like, all right, go run your mile or some shit like that.
Just like, it was just, there was no, there was no coming back. There was no coming back for him. It's so funny seeing it all wide-eyed. And then I think he was, like, smirking and trying not to laugh, too, even though he might have just bashed his head on the wall behind him.
Yeah,
dude, he is, for such a big dude, to see him tumble like that and to see his New Balances sticking up in the air as he's as he's laying on the ground in Coach Boyer's room, dude. Holy shit. That might have been the hardest I think I've ever laughed. Like, oh.
It's definitely up there. Oh, I think, like, Jesus. Between that and all the rest of the film sessions were just, I just remember just getting absolutely torched and coming out of that just thinking, like, man, that's such crap. Like, why are they, like, lighting me up for dumb stuff like that?
And, dude, it was all of us every single film, especially senior year, dude. Every Monday I walked out of there, I was like, I'm the worst football player ever.
Yeah, like, what an idiot. Why did I take that one step to the left or, like, you know, dumb stuff like that? And then you get into college, and then it's like you just get lit up even more. You're just like, oh, okay, that's fine. I mean,
yeah, I'm good. I can wear that one. Yeah, dude, it's so wild coming from, like, how, like, obviously, like, the core memories are amazing. And, like, dude, we had such a good high school, such, like, a fun class, like, such a good group of people. But it's really just, it's crazy how much, like, getting into the real world, like how much like how little high school is to the rest of your life, dude. Like, it is such a small fraction.
And people tell you that all the time, and you're like, dude, okay, cool.
This is everything. This is everything right now.
This is my life.
Yeah, dude, 100%. I was like, there was so much shit that happened in high school where I was like, dude, like, the rest of my life is fucking ruined.
I will never financially recover from this.
I will never financially recover from this. You're right. I'm just like, dude, I'm never gonna bounce back. Like, this is fucking horrible. And like, how much it really doesn't matter is just hilarious. Yeah. Like,
yeah, especially when you start like branching out. Like, there's a few. Like, I think a lot of our class has kind of gotten out of Byron. Which, I mean, if you haven't, I mean, it's fine. I would definitely like to make it back to Byron or a town like Byron, you know, sometime when I'm ready to kind of figure it out. But like, I feel like having been able to kind of go out and get experience and meet new people. Of course, I was dumb and went to college and followed Garba to Benedictine. So like, at least I had a friend there. But that also had its backfires of bringing you over all of the high school nicknames that we just talked about through to college. So that kind of backfired on me a little bit, but all the new friends and stuff that you get to make, and just like how you can almost figure out how to reinvent yourself, like you're saying, like just the growth of you over time is, it's bananas to think about. Like, I when you actually sit there and try to think about it, I just think it's so weird how like you can be so focused on something as your identity, and then, you know, just a few short years later, you're like, oh, well, I guess that really didn't matter in the grand scheme of things, did it?
No. it really is wild to think about, too. It's like, but no, it's been so good, dude, and wrapping up, dude, it's been so good to catch up with you and tell those stories. I've been loving catching up with some of these friends, and I keep reiterating it on every episode, so I'm sure people are so exhausted, but it's been awesome catching up with people, especially like with you, and just like having these one-on-one conversations with old friends is like, it really just takes you back down memory lane, and like it just makes my heart happy for the rest of the day doing this. So I really appreciate you hopping on, dude. It means a lot.
Yeah, man. I'm happy to have a convo, like you said, just happy to kind of catch up, you know. I getting the gang back together again too, kind of like you said in one of your other episodes, like with a 10-year reunion. Like, I'm so excited to kind of see where everybody's at and catch up. So this has been awesome for me. I've really enjoyed listening, and thanks for letting me come and laugh my ass off for the last hour.
Oh, absolutely, dude. With that, yeah, man. Let people know like where to follow you at right now, like what you're on for socials and stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm not too on too many, but you can follow me at @ngetsum on Insta. That's pretty much the only thing that I check nowadays.
Nice, dude.
So,
But hell yeah, yep. Dude, I appreciate you hopping on, and I can't wait to have you on again, my man.
Yeah, thanks, buddy. You keep cranking these out, man. You're going to get huge.
Appreciate it, dude.